Everyone, welcome to episode 142 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Glad to have you on board this week. And I'm excited about my guests this week, Asa Gray and Dalton Anthony. They are two of the hosts at Podzilla 1985. It is a podcast group, a network, if you will, based out of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. They have four different shows. They're on four nights a week. And, you know, I Chad actually kind of introduced me to them. Even though he's in Los Angeles and I'm here in Southern Illinois, and Podzilla 1985 is just across the river in Cape Girardeau. So it's funny how that all kind of connected and worked out, because I do enjoy listening to their shows. They have, as I mentioned, four different shows. One of them, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, which is my favorite, obviously, because I am a pro wrestling fan. But Podzilla After Dark is a fun show as well. And they just talk about all kinds of different things, whether it's professional wrestling, pop culture, current events. There's video games and comic books and movies and music and all kinds of stuff. And that's what I like about what they do over there. The initial reasoning for having Dalton on the show was to talk more about action figures. He is an avid figure collector, as you will hear. And Dalton and Asa and all the folks over at Podzilla 1985 are very supportive of Stride Pro Wrestling, which is very cool. And that's why, you know, I don't have any problem. You know, people have said before, how can you have someone else from another podcast on your show? To me, it's, you know, there's enough room out there for all of us to have different guests and talk about other podcasts and shows. And I mean, I've made no secrets about it. Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard is my favorite podcast right now, but I enjoy talking to other, especially the locally, or I shouldn't say locally, but the maybe lesser known fan podcast, if you will, that aren't done by former wrestlers or current wrestlers or whatnot. So anyway, we have a great conversation. As I mentioned, Asa and Dalton specifically come over to Marion every month for Stride Pro Wrestling. They're also part of the team along with Shannon Young and with Allie as far as doing the Stride Pro Wrestling. I'm sorry, strike that comment. They do the commentary, they're part of the commentary team for the Cape Championship Wrestling, which I'm a big fan of as well. And I've made a couple of shows, but CCW Cape Championship Wrestling is available on the Fight TV app. So download that, watch it, check it out. They're doing some great things over in Cape Girardeau, as we are doing over here in Marion with Stride Pro Wrestling. And that kind of takes me to this week's match of the week. And, you know, I started this last week, and the idea was to highlight a match from the past to go out and watch. And I guess technically this is a match from the past. It just happened Saturday night. But it is Heath Hatton versus Jay Spade in a number one contendership match for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. These two guys, it was the main event, and they put on a hell of a show. I'm excited for what these two did in the ring and what the future holds for both men. I'm not going to spoil it and tell you who won. You can go check the match out. It is available on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. At least it was earlier. So Red Daniels had posted that. So be sure to check it out and support Stride Pro Wrestling as well. We just hit over 1,000 likes on the Facebook page. Some more big events coming up September 9th, of course. We are going to have a show in Marion. Then on Friday night, October 6th, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be the special guest as Stride Pro Wrestling goes on the road to Pinckneyville, Illinois. And that'll be a great show as well. So be sure to stay tuned for updates. Tickets will go on sale for that event at the next Stride show on September 9th at the Illinois Star Center Mall. So be sure to check that out. Cape Championship Wrestling has Homecoming 2 coming up as well. We'll have all those details over at My 1-2-3 Cents and Jittery Monkey as well. You know what? It's been a busy week, and that's my excuse. I have not watched all of Raw or SmackDown, so I don't have a whole lot on the national wrestling scene to talk about this week. Again, want to get you encouraged to support indie wrestling, whether it's in your own community, if you're listening here in the Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri, Western Kentucky area. I encourage you to come check out Stride Pro Wrestling or go check out Cape Championship Wrestling. And if you're not in the area, well, you know what? Stride has a YouTube channel, and Stride also has a Facebook page as well as Twitter and Instagram, so check those out. Cape Championship Wrestling, Fight TV, you just download that, and you can watch. They go live with CCW Chaos every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. You can watch it then, or it's available on demand. So if you're not able to watch right on time, you can definitely check it out. Again, thank you for your support of My 1-2-3 Cents and this brand. And we're going to be doing some things here in the very near future that I'm excited about. So be sure to stay on board and check that out as well. But for now, stay tuned for Dalton Anthony and Asa Gray.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, as promised, joining me on the show today is Dalton Anthony from, well, I was going to say Cape Championship Wrestling because you're wearing the Cape Championship Wrestling hat, and I guess technically you are a part of Cape Championship Wrestling.
I guess backstage interviewer and commentator for well, 1/4 of for Cape Championship Wrestling, and then also from Podzilla 1985.
That's right, Podzilla 1985, and you guys do several shows. Asa Gray is here, by the way, too, and he may, the five-star man, Asa Gray, I should say, is joining us, too. He may weigh in here from time to time as well, but talk to me a little bit about, let's start off with, because we're going to talk action figures, obviously, but let's talk a little bit about what you guys do with Podzilla 1985.
Podzilla 1985, it's a local podcast out of Southeast Missouri, and we cover a little bit of everything. Asa and I do shows 2 to 3 times a week, covering nerd news. We have a show called Nerd Up, and Asa and I are both on that. There's a freeform show, Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, which Asa co-hosts, and then we have PWU, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, which is one that Asa and I also do. There's also a Thursday show, which is also another freeform show. And we just kind of, we cover nerd news and wrestling are our two big ones, and then kind of whatever we want to on the Tuesday and Thursday shows.
It's a great concept. I like that you guys are doing this and that you all, because I've only been listening for a few months now, but you guys have such great chemistry, and I like that you interchange. You're kind of like Freebird rules when it comes to podcast, you know, you mix and match and have everybody coming in and out.
Yeah, and the cool thing is it was started mainly by two people, Shannon, who was the Mr. 100 in that Tuesday show, and then Jesse Kimball, who was the host of Nerd Up. And it's kind of funny because we do it out of like a little gaming store, a little mom and pop store in Cape, and Asa was like working there, and they brought him in, and then like 3-4 months down the line, I was just a big fan of the show, and I sat in on an episode, and we've gathered a cast just of us all being friends.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons I like our podcast the most, because I only do two shows, so I don't listen to Nerd Up or PWU because I'm on them, but like the Tuesday and Thursday show, they're a great listen. Like, they're the first things I listen to my Wednesday and Friday mornings right after they air.
Yeah, I have found myself, I don't listen to the radio anymore. When I get in the car, I plug my phone in, and because I now have so many podcasts that I listen to, and Podzilla 1985 is one of them. I don't listen to Nerd Up as often because I'm not, you guys talk a lot of video games, and I don't, you know, not since Pac-Man and Atari and back in the 80s, I'm not a big gamer. But Asa, how did you get involved with all of the show and whatnot?
It was kind of really random because the original lineup for Pro Wrestling Unscripted was Shannon, our friend Hunter Hendricks, and then our friend Zach Price, who is one of the camera people for CCW now. And they would record at the radio station that Hunter worked at. And then I would always kind of like feed in with questions, and then or I'd always end up just like, oh, you guys talked about this. This is what I thought too. And then eventually, like, there was a day, I think the first show I did, Shannon had to miss. So they brought me in as kind of like the alternate just to fill that third seat.
Sure.
And so I kind of started doing that a little bit more. And then eventually there was a little bit of a shakeup with the cast. And it changed to where it was pretty much me, Shannon, and Hunter. And then it kind of went, I don't even remember the full, how it really went. Because then eventually it turned into Shannon, myself, and Allie, and then there was one time I was just, because I was, I've been friends with Dalton for a while now.
Oh, yeah, we've known each other for a couple years.
And so, and I knew he really liked the show, so I was like, oh, you should just come and, like, watch us record.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, and then we, he ended up being on one of the shows, and then we just kind of...
How long has Podzilla 1985 been around?
We just had our 2 year.
That's right.
Yeah, we just had 2 year. We hit 500 episodes last week. Just because we do, when you do 4 to 5, because, I mean, we do 4 shows now. There was a point where we were doing 5.
Yeah.
You do so many shows in a week, it's really easy to get that number up.
Sure.
I would like to think that every show we do is quality, so it's a quality mm-hmm. show every time.
Yeah.
So we've put out 500 in a 2 year span.
That's got to be, like, because you guys obviously do some prep and research, and when you're sitting there talking, you guys know your stuff. I mean, you're not just sitting there randomly spouting off. How much prep time? I mean, doing 4 nights a week, and I know you kind of alternate and you're not all on all those shows, but that's a pretty big commitment, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, we do a pretty good job of, like, the workload, because PWU, all of the new stuff we talk to, it's ASA. ASA finds all that stuff throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
We get a nice list, and then it's mainly, and it's a shame that he's not here, but Shannon and ASA go back and forth so much, and it's easy for me because it's just those two will talk, and then they'll throw it to me just for something. Like,
yeah.
All right, cool. My prep work is very small comparatively, but so ASA does PWU. Shannon takes care. Well, I mean, it's a 50-50 on Tuesday between you and Shannon.
So there's definitely prep work between when PWU and NerdUp, because the people that we have, we have group chats mm-hmm. for both of those shows.
Okay.
And so if someone sees a headline throughout the week, they'll just send the link there, and then on Wednesday morning while I'm at work, I just kind of go through the group chat, find the stuff, and I just make a list of, okay, here's the stuff we'll talk about. And then it's kind of the same thing with NerdUp,
sure.
where it's like, oh, hey, this trailer just came out, or this news just happened, and we just send it to the group chat, and then Jesse's the one who, because he hosts that show, he's the one that kind of puts it all in order and kind of has the final say of what we talk about. But then, for the most part, the Tuesdays and Thursdays shows, those are the ones where we just kind of sit and riff and oh hey, this is what's on the news, or every once in a while we'll do a theme show. Like a couple weeks ago we did a James Bond episode mm-hmm. on Tuesday. That one I did a lot of research. I was just like, okay, these are the ones that I like the most, these ones that I didn't.
Yeah.
And that was just out of a running gag that I always gave Shannon trouble every time he mentioned that Pierce Brosnan was his favorite Bond.
Okay.
I was like, but no, clearly the correct answer is Daniel Craig. So, and then we're just like, well, we're doing a whole episode.
Okay. All right. Well, I like the chemistry. I like what you guys are doing. That's going to take me now to Cape Championship Wrestling, because you guys started off as fans of the product. You had no affiliation other than you were in the front row, and I think you guys have told the story before where you're kind of cheering for the good guys or the bad, and giving your kind of input and whatnot, and somebody obviously took note of that and caught someone's attention.
And right before we started recording, you talked about going to see Billy as a mm-hmm. heel at Homecoming, and that was the first that Asa and I went to. And we just kind of decided on PWU, like, hey, we're just gonna report on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's in our backyard, so
yeah.
it's one of those things like, well, I mean, we weren't doing it for attention. We were just doing it mainly for, like, hey, support local wrestling. This is in Cape. If you're in Cape and you listen to us, you need to go watch them. And that kind of snowballed into some of the wrestlers heard about it and really liked it. And then we decided one show randomly before the October show last year, we were like, hey, send us video. Like, if you want to cut a promo on somebody, send us the audio. We'll put it in the episode.
Yeah, okay.
And from that, it just kind of, it snowballed more and more to where that was October, where they were sending us stuff. By, like, March, they were coming to us to do shows, and we did multiple shows at that point. And whenever they signed the Fight TV deal, they kind of came up to us, and they're like, so we need commentators, we need backstage interviewers, and you guys are our pick for that. So it was just mainly, we just kind of went on it where we went independent just because we really like CCW and they took a liking to us, and it formed a really good partnership. So they, whenever Fight TV happened, they just kind of asked us, like, hey, you guys want to do the commentary? And we, all four of us, well, Shannon, Asa, and I have been lifelong wrestling fans, and Allie's gotten into it really hard and heavy in the last 2 years, and we just, it's a ball to do. And, like, we go to all the shows where Asa and they are there pretty early just trying to get interviews and stuff, and it's really fun to do. Like, just to get all that stuff done.
Is it surreal? Because I remember when I first, like, the first thing I ever did with wrestling involved was I was a ring announcer for IWA South. Ian Rotten had come into town, and it was just a very surreal experience. Billy Gunn, who was at the mm-hmm. last Cape Championship Wrestling show, was there as the special guest. So it's a very surreal feeling, or it was then, and even still today, I kind of, like, and this was 12 years ago, and it's like, wow, you know, everything that I've done kind of in wrestling related has been like, I am living a dream that I had as a kid, like, wow, I'm doing, and it's obviously on a smaller scale, but with Fight TV, I mean, that's an app that people all over the world, because I think somebody mentioned on the show not too very long ago that you were hearing from people overseas watching. Yeah.
And I mean, I can speak for Asa a little bit on it, but you can elaborate. Like, some of the stuff we've gotten to do is so cool. So for Fight TV, I'm not going to say too much, but there was a backstage interview that I got to do with Billy Gunn. And I'm only 24, so whenever Billy Gunn was doing his thing, I was like 6.
Yeah.
And I'm a big DX fan. Always was.
By the way, Billy Gunn is my favorite member of DX. I know you guys had that little debate the other day on the show.
It's because X-Pac is like my favorite wrestler of all time.
Okay.
But like, I was such a big DX fan as a kid. And in ASIC, and so we were trying to do this interview, and the reason I say trying is because I had to ask him to do it. Because, uh-huh. Like, we had to, like, he was very busy the day of that show, and I had to pull him away for, like, 5 minutes and hope that Brandon Barbwire was also free, and he literally walked right by me when I was about to ask him, and I froze. Like, I went full dead. I was like, and Asa was like, what happened? I was like, I couldn't say words.
Yeah.
And I finally got to do the interview, but it's one of those things, it's still really surreal. Like, some of the things we get to do, and just, we get to watch it on a TV show. Like, it's on Fight TV. I very much count that as a TV show.
Sure.
Just getting to see, like, we get to see our faces with these interviews, and then also whenever they do the, like, we get to do stuff that people like Jim Ross, Nigel McGuinness, like, stuff like that. That's the coolest part to me, is, like, yeah. I can say that I've done it. Not on the level yet of that, but, right. Like, it's the, like, it's happened.
It's happening. Yeah. That's amazing. That's awesome. Asa, I would imagine you kind of have the same sentiment.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, like, I've always wanted to do something with wrestling. Like, I've always wanted to be a manager, mm-hmm. because I know my body. I know, like, I'm not going to be a wrestler. Like, yeah. I've come to terms with that. But to be able to have any sort of, like, to be, you know, to be able to sit and, you know, look, stare into this microphone while we're recording and be like, this is what Bobby Heenan did. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what Corey Graves is doing. This is what Jim Ross is doing. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, very much going backstage as we're just kind of running around, like, trying to gather people to do interviews and stuff. I'm like, it's like, we're supposed to be here, but it still doesn't feel like that. Like,
yeah.
At least for me, like, I'm still very much just like, oh, they're gonna realize that, no, we're just a couple of people with a podcast. Like, those are our credentials. That's what we've got going for
yeah.
us. They're gonna find us out,
yeah.
and they're just gonna be like, no, why are you here? Get back to your seats.
Yeah, no, because we were talking about this, because this is actually the first time that, like, anybody from PZ85 has gone and done another podcast.
Uh-huh.
And we were on the car ride over here, and I was just like, well, it's weird, because, like, you mainly have, like, the Stride guys, and you've had Buff Bagwell. I was like,
sure.
He has wrestling personalities on here. And then Asa kind of had to say, I was like, well, I mean, in the loosest word form, we are also wrestling personalities. And I was like, oh, that's right, because I forget about it. It's not something that I, like, think about a whole lot. But, yeah, no, we get to do things like that, which is really cool, and it's still super surreal. Like, the people that I've got to meet and talk to, like, we've had to multiple conversations with people like Leva Bates and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just the cool people we've gotten to meet that way.
Yeah. It is. It's, you know, and you brought that up about first time being on another podcast. And, you know, I've had, and his name is escaping me, the action figure guy in Cape. He does all the...
Patrick?
Ryan?
Abney.
Abney.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ryan
Abney. I had him on because, you know, I do like, you know, obviously, you know, I've had Buff Bagwell on, I've had the Honky Tonk Man, I've had, you know, the Mick Foley, for example, too. I've had the bigger names, but then I like to talk to fans, I like to talk to people who have a unique perspective on wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about what you guys do, is you guys are having a conversation, and I work such a crazy schedule, and, you know, the guys here in Stride, it's hard for me to, like, meet up with people and do a weekly show. That's why I reach out and do some of the phone interviews that I do and whatnot. So, but, yeah, I like getting that perspective. And, obviously, the action figure thing, you guys mentioned it on Podzilla the other day. I started collecting in 85. My, you know, when the WWF first released, or LJN back then,
mm-hmm.
released action figures, you know, I'm so old that I was playing with Star Wars toys, and I was doing wrestling, and I would assign a Star Wars figure as a wrestler, and that's how I did it. And then all of a sudden, now I've got Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Snuka and Iron Sheik, so they became available. But it was, you know, they weren't poseable; they were in that one mold. But that was my thing, the nostalgia of it. And then of course Hasbro came out with the smaller ones, and I enjoyed those. But what got you into this whole collecting?
Well, whenever I was really little, the same, like, I had Jack Specific. They were the ones okay. that made my figures. And unfortunately, I don't have any of them. Because, of course, sold them in a yard sale, I think my mom threw away. One of the two. The normal action figure collector story.
Sure.
I had so much stuff when I was a kid, now I don't. But anytime we went to Walmart for like $8, my mom would get me, I would say Chris Jericho, but I hated him so much as a kid that I was like, I don't want any of his figures. So, I collected that. I was in college, and I'm a big comic book fan as well. And I bought a Nightwing figure, who's my favorite superhero. And it just kind of, I would just collect DC figures and some Marvel. And then one day, it was a Black Friday sale at Walmart. There was a CM Punk, and it was like 4 months after he left WWE, or however many months after. And I was like, well, I'm a big CM Punk fan. I need that. I bought that one, and then it was like, oh, a Triple H from WrestleMania 30. I need that one. And then it just kind of snowballed mm-hmm. into, well, now I'm buying WWE Elites more than anything else.
Okay.
I collect Marvel Legends, too. I collect a little bit of everything. But, yeah, no, so it's one of those, it's just neat to have. I just got the scale ring because I follow a lot of people, like, on Instagram that mm-hmm. do the posing and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. And I try to do it.
Uh-huh.
It's a certain skill that I need to kind of get better at. But it's, I enjoy the collecting aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my brain's wired that way, and the action figures are just really fun to collect. Like, I open stuff out the second I get it just mm-hmm. so I can, like, pose it around. If there's a wrestler I don't have, that has now become, like, the search point of it. There's a Walmart exclusive line right now that Asa and I went to 4 different Walmarts for today.
Wow.
Didn't find them. I'm going to. American Alpha will be mine. Yeah. But,
so tell me a little bit about, because you just mentioned that you take them out of the box. And
yeah.
I know a lot of collectors, they keep it in the box. They, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, hanging on the wall or whatever. Do you take them out of the box for the sole purpose of doing the photos and the posing, or
and just,
I would imagine you run out of room too.
I need to buy another bookshelf. I'm moving soon, and I need to get another bookshelf so I have room for everything. But no, that's the fun part for collecting for me, because like I'll get the Marvel Legends, which are 6-inch scale, and I'll take them out of the store whenever I buy them, and I'll put the Shocker in the pose while he's shooting like the effects out of his hand. And the wrestling thing's the same way. It's the fun thing to do. Like, I couldn't collect just to keep something in the box.
Yeah. Do you ever buy an extra one and keep it in the box?
No, I don't have that kind of money. it's one of those that if I ever want to sell them, I'm okay with losing money on them because it's fun now.
Yeah.
But I don't really collect to keep them in mint condition. Like,
do you ever have matches with them?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm 44 years old, and I still will have
we
matches.
We actually had this conversation 5 minutes before the podcast, because he was like, Asa told me, and he was just, I know you do the pictures with him. And he was like, do you ever do matches? Like, well, yeah, no, I'll do like a series of pictures to like do a match. And he was like, no, like you put your phone away and you do a match. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know all the time. my roommates probably think I'm the most fun person to have. There's been many of walkthroughs with like my landlord and Cape. And she'd just be like, so Dalton, there's like 37 action figures on your floor. And I was like, I'm aware.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I'm about. Don't worry about it.
So talk to me about, because I'm a novice on the new lines of figures. So what is an elite versus a regular figure that you see on the shelf?
Well, an elite kind of it has more points of articulation.
Okay.
So like your basic has a shoulder, which actually I think they just eliminated, a shoulder, like a ball joint, a single elbow, and wrist.
Okay.
It has a ball joint on the head so it can kind of spin around and do that. And then besides that, on a basic, it just has the T-joint hips, which means the legs can go forwards and backwards.
Okay.
But it can't do much more. It has one bend in the knee, and it has a boot swivel.
Really? Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, so the elites, I just bought an Eddie Guerrero today.
Okay, and we do have the Eddie Guerrero here.
Yeah.
And he's got the roses. This is Latino Heat Eddie Guerrero, right?
Oh, I was so happy to have this. So, like, with an elite, you have the same arm and head. So it's ball joint, elbow, wrist, and then it's on a ball.
Okay.
Your waist actually has, or your chest has a crunch,
so it
can bend forwards and backwards, and then the legs actually have their own like kind of ball joint hinged where I can do more with them, and then a double jointed knee, which means I can like get the knee to go all the way back.
Okay, cool.
So, and I get some basics just because I really wanted like I think it was an Adrian Neville. I was like, I really want Adrian Neville. I'll buy a basic of it, but for the, like, whenever I know they're making a figure, I will get the elite of it because it makes it easier to do the photos. I can do more poses with them.
So are they phasing out the basics and doing all elites? Or?
No, the elites are, whenever you buy an action figure, like, you get an elite or you get a Marvel Legend, you'll usually see the words adult collector on them.
Okay.
Because they're smaller parts. Like, this, like, little roses right here would not be good for, like, a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So they put, like, plus, like, 10 or something like
that.
Okay. The basics are very much a younger...
More of a toy.
Yeah, more of a toy because they are... There's less pieces that can break off of them. So that's the main difference is just the basic ones. And they're $10 cheaper.
Okay.
That's the big point.
That was my next question. Are the elites a bit more expensive?
Elites are $20. I've paid more than $20 on some. Mm-hmm. There's been, like, there's people that sell figures out of Cape that I've had to get, like, an AJ Styles. Like, I needed the first AJ, so that was a $30 purchase. But elites are usually $20. If they do, like, a defining moments, which are the really fancy boxes, those are usually about $25. And they do those for, like, there was a WrestleMania 3 Macho Man recently. That was the most recent one.
Okay.
And I was going to buy it, but, again, I was talking to Ace. I can only have so many Macho Man figures.
So you,
so you do...
double up though if you've got a particular one if it's in a different outfit or
that's my main like rule is if it's a almost entirely different phase of somebody's career I will have it. So like Macho Man, I have like early WWF, I have the Bash at the Beach 96 where he has the face paint, and then I have Macho Madness late WCW.
Okay.
Seth Rollins, I have like three where it's like Shield, NXT, and current.
Okay.
And then the one that I the only person I really break that rule for is Finn Balor, because every elite he has is pretty much demon paint, and I've been like I remember him as Prince Devitt, so whenever he got signed to WWE that was the one where I was like, oh, I can't wait for those toys to start coming out.
Yeah.
So I have every demon they've done it as an elite I've actually picked up, and they just did the SummerSlam one, and they've also done an unpainted one that I need to buy, but it's a ringside collect, like it's a certain I have to go to this website and order it.
Okay. And that was my next question, do you order offline or do you primarily just hit the local stores?
Local stores, that's how I like to do it. There's definitely some exceptions to the rule, like the ones that I absolutely want. So like whenever Nakamura had his, I had to get that one online to find it. It depends on the need of it. If I really want to have a certain superstars and that's the only one they've made, I will go and order that one online. Or if I know it's going to be hard to find, I'll try to catch it for $20 on Amazon. But I really enjoy the like hunting aspect of finding action figures. That's the best part. Stride is so much fun to go to for the wrestling, but Asa and I have kind of made it kind of a ritual to, all right, we're going to go to Anna, hit at Walmart and Walgreens, then we're going to go to Carbondale, hit up all those stores, and then we're going to stop in Marion, get food, hit up those stores, and then Stride.
Yeah.
And then, so it's fun just to do. Like, it gives me something to do on the weekdays that I'm not working or I have an off night that I can just be like, all right, I'm going to go to Walmart or Toys R Us, because Cape has a pretty good selection too.
Do you only buy them that are new and in the store? Do you go to flea markets and yard sales and pick them up there too?
I've gone to like there's a convention up in St. Louis called Toy Man. I've been up there a couple times and bought things off of the people that are loose figures because I open them up anyway. So if I can find a certain figure that is like $30 usually mint in box and I can get it for $10, I will do that every day of the week because it doesn't matter that a whole lot to me. But yeah, no, I like going to like the retail stores and trying to find things.
And do you stick to the current lines? Do you go back and buy the old Hasbros or the LJNs?
Not really, and that's just because it's I don't want my collection looking more weird than what it has to be.
Yeah.
So I try not to collect older things. Like, I don't mess with Toy Biz Marvel Legends for that reason, because they look so much different from the current Marvel Legends. I don't go back and collect Jax figures.
Okay.
Because they look different.
Yeah.
Different sculpts and things like that. Action figures I've actually come to find out look a lot better from years ago than they do now, because production costs have gone up. Mm-hmm. So, like, the old Jax figures, there's a Jeff Hardy that I wish I could find so I could pop the head off of it. Just because the head sculpt was so awesome, and it was, like, a $10 figure whenever my mom got it for me.
Okay. How many figures do you have? Do you know how many you have, or...?
I think the last count on WWE figures was somewhere in the 60.
Okay.
And I think I've gotten about 7 figures since. So let's say, I'm just going to say 70 to be safe.
Okay.
But I have like a 4-tiered shelf at my house. That's the bottom shelf. And it's not even the most full shelf on it. Like, I have, like, my Marvel Legends, I'm definitely up in the hundreds.
Oh, wow.
Just because I just comic books and they're fun figures to pose. And then I have some DC as well.
Now, what kind of got me interested in this whole topic originally was the Isaac Yankem figure that came out at Comic-Con not too very long ago. So talk to me a little bit more about that, because you have one.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go to Comic-Con, so how did they do that? I thought it was an exclusive to that event.
They do exclusives. Okay. So every toy company does exclusives for San Diego Comic-Con. Funko does them, NECA does them, Hasbro does them, Mattel does them. Anybody that does it, just because it's an easy way to make a figure that you were going to make anyway and make an extra couple $100 on them. Toys R Us did the Mattel line. They had a contract with them that if you ordered it the day that they released during Comic-Con, if you ordered it in time, you could buy it, have it shipped to you.
So I think we, it was Steak and Shake that night that I was telling you about
yeah.
it. Because they announced it and they said the day, and I was talking to you about it, and I was like, no, I will set 3 alarms that day. It was a Thursday morning. I will set 3 alarms that day to pick that figure, like to order it, and ordered it, came in just fine. I absolutely love it because I'm a big Kane fan as well, and it was just one of those, like, this is an ugly figure. The figure is so ugly because it looks like Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
But it was kind of neat. It was, wasn't too bad to get. It was just I had to find it. And then all of my other, like, Barry Carafa, who's one of the owners of CCW, mm-hmm. he's also, like, if I'm a big toy collector, he is, like, a monster toy collector of
wrestling figures. Yeah, he buys an extra one, right?
Sometimes. Well, for his son.
Yeah.
He does it for his son. That's what he always tells me. But, yeah, last year's was Shockmaster.
Yeah.
And I could have done the same thing, but I didn't. And I kind of kicked myself for not getting that one because I wasn't a big WCW fan, but it came in the box upside down.
Yeah.
Like he tripped into it. And that was one that I would have kept in the box, but I was like, all right, I can't let another, if I can order the exclusive and it's not going to cost me much more, I need to do that. So I started with that Isaac Yankum. And just because the Comic-Con ones are just kind of comical, those mm-hmm. are the two they've done. I was like, I will buy the funny figure just because it's kind of neat to have.
Would you say that is your, I don't want to say rarest, but I guess that's the word I'm grabbing here. What is your most wanted or most valued figure?
WWE or in general?
WWE.
WWE. I have a couple. Well, it's not even an Elite. I have a Funko Pop of CM Punk.
Okay.
And it was I bought it the day that he walked out of Raw.
Oh, wow.
Because I was really big in the dirt sheets back then. I don't really do that much anymore. But it said CM Punk walked out of Raw. And you have a pretty good handle of how somebody is most of the time if you listen to him on a podcast. And anytime Punk was on a podcast, I'd listen. So I knew if he walked out, he's probably done.
Yeah.
So I knew Hot Topic had one. And it's just CM Punk, but he's in the Bret Hart attire. The, like, pink and black.
Yeah.
And, of course, I opened it up, put it on my shelf. And I have a friend, Andy, who actually got me into collecting. He texted me. He works at this toy store in Dallas. And said, hey, do you still have that Punk? And is it in the box? And I said, no, why? And he was like, well, I was like, I still have it, but I don't have it in the box. And he was like, it's a $200 pop right now.
Wow.
I bought it for $10. And I was like, all right, how much is it out of the box? And he's like, $80. And I was like,
wow.
So that probably, out of my, like, WWE collection, that is probably my most expensive
uh-huh.
thing I own that I could sell tomorrow and make money on.
Yeah.
But I have these two toys. They're from Sideshow Collectible and Hot Toys.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, hand-painted from Japan. They're super expensive figures. I have Wolverine from X3.
Okay.
A Hugh Jackman. I'll take pictures and send them to you.
Okay.
But they're hand-painted. They look just like the person. Like, if I put the right backing behind it, you would think it was just a picture of Hugh Jackman.
Wow.
That one retailed at $250. I did not spend that on these. That retailed at $250, and then I have a Robin from 1966, Batman and Robin. That was like a $200 figure, and I have those. But I have those two, and those are probably my two prized possession figures that I probably won't get rid of. I've thought about the Wolverine because that's just a bad movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, those are probably my two most expensive figures. But everything I buy for the most part are like $20 here, $20 there.
Who's on your must-have list that you don't have right now?
Right now,
American. That is out there and in production.
Right now, American Alpha. That's the Walmart exclusive ones. San Diego Comic-Con announced like 100 figures over the course of
yeah.
this next year. And there's a bunch of money to get Gallows and Anderson because I'm a big Japanese wrestling fan. I need to get those guys. There's a couple other that's just, oh, a bunch of the cruiserweights. So like TJ Perkins is getting one. Neville's getting one for like the King of the Cruiserweights. Gallagher's getting one. James Ellsworth is getting one.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I need a James Ellsworth figure, but I need one. They're doing new ones for Braun Strowman, which I'm going to have to get like with the ponytail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this next year is not going to be a fun one for me for collecting just because I'm going to have to buy such a large volume of uh-huh. things, but that's every year. But yeah, no, this next year, just people I don't have. Tyler Bate is getting one, and I loved him in the UK
mm-hmm.
tournament. But yeah, it's, I would like to say that I only get the people that I want or that I want, but I get a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised I don't have a Ryback figure. I hate Ryback, but like, I think if I saw one on Elite just out of Toys R Us now, I'd probably pick it up
because
I just, that's my collecting mentality of it.
What are you, do you buy any of the customs?
I do not. It's just, they're expensive.
Yeah.
My thing is I can buy one custom for $120 of Cat or Chris Hero. Or I can buy 6 elites
yeah.
I'm not saying that people make customs to break, but I don't want to mess up somebody's work of art compared
right.
to a production line
sure.
or something.
What is there one out there now or a wrestler past or present out there that doesn't have a figure that you like would like that have your wish list, so
oh,
to speak?
That's easy. Owen Hart.
Okay.
That's one that I've I've been wanting forever, because actually in this line that I bought, this Eddie Guerrero, there's a Yokozuna that I have.
Okay.
And Yokozuna came with two tag team championships. Who was his partner?
Of course.
The Chase basics that come out, because I will buy the women's basics are the same articulation as the Elite women's figures, so like it's, I'll buy the women's ones. Like I told you, I bought that Dana Brooke. There's Chase variants of it where they come with a little slammy. I have two of those, and I have two tag team championships. I need an Owen Hart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, a bunch of people make customs of it, but it's the whole thing of, I feel like Mattel will eventually make the Owen Hart Elite. I need it to happen, because Owen Hart was also one of my favorite wrestlers as a kid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that's... whenever somebody... because I've been asked that before. It's like, I need an Owen Hart figure. That's
now, are there no Owen Hart figures at all? Or is this an issue with the family? His widow?
It would almost have to be. I'm sure there... well, I know there's definitely some from, like, Hasbro. Uh-huh. Back when they made them. But I know there's probably a Jax one out there before. Like, I just haven't looked into it. But yeah. I need it to be in scale.
Sure.
Because that's my OCD about it. But, yeah, I want an Owen Hart figure. Every, like... toy show that happens, like New York Toy Fair, things like that. That's the one that I'm like, oh, come on, Mattel, say Owen Hart. I need that one. But yeah, no, that's the one that I absolutely need them to make, because I don't even have Brett or Jim Neidhart or any of them. That was my favorite from that group.
So, Asa, you said you are a mild collector earlier before we started recording. What do you think of all these stops that you guys make when you come over for Stride Wrestling shows?
Oh, no, like, it's fun. Like, it's a chance to hang out with Dalton and just, like... I'm gonna call you out on it.
Yeah, go ahead. I want you to tell the story.
Whenever he gets excited and he sees something from a distance, he does this little hop, and it's just adorable. Like, because he's just so excited. But I mean, the only complaint I have with him is it's making me itchy. Of just like, I mean, I've seen that Cesaro a handful of times, and it's like, I really like Cesaro, but I don't want to spend. I'm much tighter with my money.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to spend that money on it. Like, I really want it, but because I only have a handful of elites, but I keep mine in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm like collecting them because to resell them for value. It's just I don't have anywhere to put them.
Yeah.
So it's just easier to keep them there.
And, yeah, because all the ones you collect definitely are your favorite wrestlers. Like, you have Styles, you have Owens, you have Cesaro. Well, not Cesaro.
Yeah, not Cesaro yet. I will buy that one, but.
I think we're going to go pick up a $9 Rusev we found in Anna today, because it was on clearance and he doesn't have a Rusev yet.
I'm sure at some point, like, I will more than likely take him out eventually, but I have those WWE figures, and then I have who's doing the Power Rangers run?
I don't know the toy company. There's a legacy line of Power Rangers, which we both have the Mighty Morphin lineup that you can build the Zord. But I don't know who makes them. It may just be Saban. I think they have their own toy.
I think so. But yeah, so they're doing a bunch of different waves where they're doing, they say they want to do every season of Power Rangers. But the first three waves filled out the Mighty Morphin line, the very first one. And that's the one that I wanted. So I have, counting white and green and then the original five. So I have those seven.
Okay.
And I'm pretty happy with that. There's nothing that I'm, like, actively searching for. There's stuff that comes out. I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. But I'm not as compulsory as you are.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We've went on a lot of trips looking for one particular thing and never find it. That's whenever Amazon is my godsend.
Okay. So, you have that. I guess, too, between Amazon and eBay, there are other resources out there to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, and it's just the secondhand market sucks. Like, the AJ Styles I had to buy for $30, which, I mean, is a good price for it. The guy that cut me the deal was very gracious. But, of course, like... 3 weeks after I spent $30, I found like four of them.
That's how I got mine.
Yeah, I bought it because I was like, I need to buy this in stores, and I got it for him. And actually, they just made another AJ Styles where he's wearing like the club logo, and this is enough for me to buy another one because they're making Gallows and Anderson, so I can have the entire club in actual gear. My buddy in Perryville actually found it at Walmart, and he was like, hey, I owe you money. Can I just get that for you instead? So the best way to like get me to get out of like taking money from somebody's buy me figures.
There you
like,
go.
So I got another AJ Styles coming, which is I'm super excited for.
And that's what we've done before. Like, it'll be like, oh, I'll just go on my own runs and stuff. And like, oh, I know Dalton was looking for this, so I'll pick that up. And instead of him just giving me cash for it, I think, like, that's what that AJ was.
Yeah, it's just, I think you...
I picked something up
for you. I owed you money for something. Yeah. And
and action figures are actually the reason I got into wrestling in general. Because growing up, I had a bunch of, like, Ninja Turtle, Batman, X-Men, like, classic, like, all of those, like, cartoons, comic stuff growing up. And I would just always put on these, like, giant wars of Power Rangers fighting, you know, Ninja Turtle, stuff like that. But my neighbor came over, and we would always play together, and he would always bring a handful of his stuff to play with. And one day he brought an Undertaker action figure.
Okay.
And I was like, who is this? You don't know the Undertaker? He's like, no, who is this guy? And so I kind of started watching wrestling with him, and that's kind of how it... And then his mom ordered us the pay-per-view of In Your House, Hell in a Cell.
Oh my God, so, you make me feel so old. I was there for
you just
that
told
one.
Us. Yeah, you told us that. And yeah. So, you know, seeing Kane debut live, like that is what got me into wrestling
okay.
was Kane.
That's awesome.
But it all started with an Undertaker action figure. It was just like, who's this guy?
That is really cool. Dalton, anything I didn't ask you that you want to get out there and let listeners know?
No, I think we kind of touched on everything that I assumed we were going to go over. So, okay. And listen to us at, go to any of your podcast catchers and tune in or type in Podzilla 1985. Listen to us, download the Fight TV app. It's free. If you're listening to this, you obviously love wrestling. So download Fight TV, Cape Championship Chaos. It airs every Wednesday live at 6 PM. And then actually it's on demand after that. It's completely free. That helps us out a lot. And I know that, Ken, Jason, Lee, and Barry would all super appreciate going and watching that. Also, it's fantastic wrestling. A lot of the people that you've talked to, like Billy Hills, is on the show.
Yeah. And Ken and Jason have been on before as well.
Yeah.
So they're all... That's what I like about... You know, people have asked me before, well, don't you look at this, you know, having other people from other podcasts? Or I don't look at it as us competing with anybody. It's there's enough time in the day to listen to a variety of podcasts and have different interests and stuff. So, and that's the same thing with Cape Championship Wrestling. You know, I like what they're doing over there. I wish I could get over there more often, but quality people. And that's why you see some of the Stride guys over there and you've seen some of the Cape Championship people over here. I know a little bit was over here a couple times, or Mardi Gras. So it's good stuff. It is all good stuff. And it's something that this area has needed for a long time.
Yeah, that was the main reason we got into it. We just wanted to watch local wrestling, and we just kind of, not everybody gets the luck into it that like PZ85 has gotten. Like, that doesn't happen too often where you're such a big fan and you do something and they like you get recognized for it and you become a part of it. But it was super cool to get that opportunity, but it all just came up because we were just gigantic fans of wrestling.
Alrighty, it is Dalton and Anthony and Asa Gray from Podzilla 1985 Pro Wrestling Unscripted. You've got all the shows. I'll have all the links on the Jittery Monkey page, jitterymonkey.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.